Advent, Chapter 6, The Feast of St. John of the Cross, December 14th.
In the dark night of the soul, bright flows the river of God, St. John of the Cross.
The loftiest poet of Spain wrote magnificently of the inestimable delights of the love of God. And yet he encouraged his disciples to seek the pure, invisible grace of God, without sense or sight, rather than craving the spiritual sweetness so desired by novices of the spiritual life. Knowingly, he wrote, a soul given up to pleasure naturally feels aversion towards the bitterness of self-denial. Somehow, I doubt the writer of these words was invited to a lot of parties. John of the Cross, Juan de la Cruz, was born in 1542 in Fontiveros, Spain. Shortly after John's birth, his father died of a lengthy and costly illness, leaving his wife in desperate poverty to raise three sons on her own. Owing to the availability of a school for poor and orphan children, John received an education and, early on, showed an unusual capacity for theological studies and spiritual ardor. Feeling called to a religious life, at age 20 he entered the Carmelite order at the monastery of Santa Ana and was ordained to the priesthood 4 years later. Soon after his ordination, John famously met and formed a deep spiritual bond with Teresa of Avila, a Carmelite prioress 25 years his elder. Longing for a life of deep solitude and prayer, John confessed to Teresa that he was considering leaving the Carmelite order for one with a more austere lifestyle. But Teresa convinced him to stay and help her reform the Carmelites, who had grown lax in their practice of the spiritual life. At first, their initiatives were mostly welcomed, and new monasteries quickly sprang up. But some of the monks resented John's reforms, seeing them as tantamount to rebellion. Eventually, John was captured by his own brothers and imprisoned for 9 months. There, besides weekly tortures and humiliations, he was deprived of light, water, food, and his beloved breviary. It was in those darkest of days, stripped of all material and relational comforts, that John of the Cross experienced a profound union with Christ, so sweet and intimate that it produced some of the greatest mystical poetry ever written. Dark Night of the Soul, perhaps his most celebrated poem, describes a young woman who has nurtured a forbidden love. Knowing that her wards would keep her from her lover, she slips out of the house at night by way of a ladder, disguised in a cloak to hide her flight. When she gets beyond the light and familiarity of the yard, she finds herself in utter darkness, without light or guide, yet resists all urges to return to the familiar safety of her home. Instead, guided by the fire of love that consumes her heart, she presses into the darkness until she eventually finds and collapses into the caresses of the one she so loves.
Into the darkest night, with a heartache kindled into love, I took a chance. When at last I went out unobserved, my house being wrapped in sleep, the hour made secure and concealed the flight to my beloved. I took a chance and left familiar treasures well behind, too far for comforting. I went out by myself, seen by no one else, a somewhat reckless journey from the start. Passing through the night without light or guide, save the fire that consumed my heart. Bless the starless night, a night by far more lovely than the dawn. Oh, happy chance to so well. And there with my love I rested, fanned by a cooling wind, wounded by love's caresses, suspending all my senses. Bless this happy night that unites the lover and the loved. Oh, happy chance to abandon every wretched care among the lilies there.
John's Dark Night poem describes the soul's flight from worldly affections and material consolations in order to know and love God alone. Even pursuing the spiritual life for its own sake, for the delight it brings the self, produces consolations short of the goal. John taught that the soul's rugged ascent to spiritual perfection was the way of nothing. Not the goods of the earth, not the goods of heaven, but only the honor and glory of God. St. John should not be considered a spiritual curmudgeon, however. He knew what champion athletes know so well, that a single-minded goal requires saying no to lesser pursuits in order to finish well. The ecstasies implied by his poetry signal the possibility of a satiating joy not available to those glutted by lesser affections. Echoing St. John, C.S. Lewis later wrote in The Weight of Glory that we can be like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. Perhaps during Advent, an intentional recollection of the life, prayers, and poetic legacy of St. John of the Cross might help us discern and joyfully choose between mud pies and holidays. In closing, a sonnet from Malcolm Guite for the occasion of the Feast of St. John of the Cross.
Deep in the dark, your brothers locked you up, but not so deep as your dear love could dive. There at the end of colour, sense and shape, the dark dead end that tells us we're alive, you sang aloud and found your absent lover, as light's true end comes with the end of light. In the rich midnight came the lovely other, you saw him plain, although it was the night. And now you call us all to hear that fountain singing and playing well before the dawn. The sun is still below this shadowed mountain. We wait in darkness for him to be born. Before he rises, light-winged with the lark, we'll meet with our beloved in the dark.